You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another very hairy episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
And my name is Rob, and this is episode 694. Thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Hope you're having a great day. It's a great day here in Albuquerque, although it is starting to get cold.
It is.
Particularly happy
my
about
flight
that.
Time went down by 3 minutes, and that's how I know it's starting to get cold.
That's right.
So,
anyways.
But anyway, we do thank you for those reviews you've been leaving on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or wherever you listen to the show. And also, I've been noticing a lot of guys who've been coming in the office. We just had a recent mapping class, in-person mapping class, which went great. And they said that they never watched the YouTube versions of the podcast, which I know the YouTube versions normally pull people in who are looking for specific questions. And if you are here today trying to get an answer to a specific question, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes, because you'll get up-to-date information whenever and wherever you go.
Absolutely. Get them notifications.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, today's show is brought to you by... I didn't know where to go with that one. Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Energen, who they have this really neat company. Just go to myenergen.com. That's myenergen.com. They're for you if you travel a lot. You're doing a lot of flights, or maybe you're flying in the wintertime. It's getting cold, and you need a way to keep those batteries charged up and warm. You got nowhere to charge your batteries, then you are going to love Energen because, well, they're pretty awesome. And they're able to charge your unique batteries, your Phantom batteries, or your Mavic batteries up to 4 at a time without having a power source. So go to their website and check out. There's a couple different chargers if you're interested. And one of those chargers is the A40. It's the one that I use. And I love it. I actually even used it this weekend. Charged up some batteries during the class when we had limited access to outlets. And it was really useful. Just check out their website, myenergen.com, and use discount code DRONEUA40 if you're getting the A40 unit. If you're interested in the P40 unit, discount code DRONEUP40, or the M10 is DRONEUM10. And that discount code, Rob, gets you a handy-dandy $50 off the A40. That is a cheap dinner date with the wifey.
Yeah, that's not bad, actually. That's an expensive dinner date for me, Paul. You're a big spender.
Wow. Now I feel I don't even know what to say right now. I'm embarrassed.
No. I'm the one that should be embarrassed.
You're taking your wife out to McDonald's? I need to talk to Jana.
No, we're good. It's all good.
Oh, it's Panera, huh?
Panera, burger joints.
Burger joints. Five-star burger?
Five-star burger.
If one of the fans wanted to run into you, what restaurant should they run into you?
Ooh.
What restaurant should they wait 5 hours in the bathroom for? Not saying that that happened. Oh, wait. No?
Not giving any deets like that, Paul. They'd be lining up.
Well, all right. Well, we got some exciting news. We're going to be doing a lot more in-person classes, and we're going to be adding that to the website in late December. So before Christmas time, you will see that we're going to have about 24 new in-person classes coming out. They're going to be group classes, very specific information. And we're really excited to do those classes, from advanced mapping to subject tracking again. That was so much fun. We saw Paul Nordine, at the advanced mapping class this weekend, and gave him the Energen unit for winning the subject tracking challenge. So, you know, during the subject tracking, you know, which Paul actually said it was one of the best times he's had in the last, what was it, 10 years? Oh, well, I don't know. Forget how long it was. Anyway, he said it was some of the most fun he's ever had in a training experience. And he made a video, put it all together, and he won that Energen unit.
I want to see that video. I still haven't seen it.
Howell is the master of the videos. He's got it.
The master of the videos.
He is the master.
New title. Got to get you some new cards.
Yes, definitely. Also, if you are in the DJI stores on the East Coast, you can see a special little thing from our friend Peter. Make sure to check that out. Special little card. Might have something special for you. But you got to go see Peter. Just go to DJI Manhattan. They got two stores. DJI New Jersey, and soon to come, there's another DJI store, but I can't mention where they're putting it, because then I would get in trouble.
We don't want that.
No.
So not let the cat out of the bag, Paul.
Definitely, but let's go ahead and play that question, because I have been rambling for way too long, and I did say it was going to be a hairy episode, and you didn't even pick up on it, but I get it. You're bald.
Hey, guys. This is Paul in Arkansas. I've got a business called Airspeed, and I'm doing the drone flying 100% of my time is devoted to it. And I'm curious about 3D imaging and how successful is that? I see a lot about, like Pix4D, drone deploy and what have you. And I'm wondering what people are doing out there, if anything, and how much they're charging. Let me know what you think.
You got it, Paul. Thank you for calling in. And guys, if you have a question, go to astroneu.com. 3D imaging. Think there's a market for that, Paul?
There is a huge market for it. In fact, we're going to showcase, if you're listening to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts, the audio versions, you're going to want to check out the video version of this, and you can actually see some B-roll of when we were at the DJI Airworks conference. And you can actually see that now even the NTSB is using, whether you call it mapping or modeling, I like to call it modeling because mapping kind of, when you say you're mapping something, it essentially dictates that maybe it's almost like survey grade. And there is a fine line that you can't cross when you're creating drone maps.
Right.
And because you don't want to get in the territory of surveying, because you could get yourself in some trouble. So I like to call it modeling. That's my own nomenclature.
And even modeling, I mean, that can mean a lot of different things. So when you hear that or when you say that, what does that mean?
Walking down the, what is it called? Fashion row with high heels and, you know, beautiful clothing from Italian designers that I can't even pronounce. Yes.
Nice.
No, I'm actually talking about flying drones and photogrammetry, doing exactly what we did in this, you know, this in-person course that we had this weekend at the Randy Travis Ranch, which was a lot of fun. And essentially what, you know, what modeling does is it creates three-dimensional models where you can measure volumetric measurements, you can get line measurements, you can do a lot of really cool stuff. You can also do progression reports for construction, and now there's even software to do time-lapse of point clouds so that, you know, people could actually do volumetric measurements over time. So it's like a volumetric time lapse, essentially, which is really useful in construction. But people are getting into it for a lot of other reasons. In fact, I've recently met some people who are getting into 3D mapping and modeling for gaming, believe it or not. We're doing some more mapping and modeling of film sets, thanks to the help of DJI's Project Vert. I'm not going to actually say the real name. There's some really cool stuff that you can do with modeling and location scouts to actually plan camera positions in real time. So we're going to be actually putting together a website for the New Mexico film sets so that people can actually see, you know, what our film sets are like, and they could plan their camera motions and what it would look like and all that. There's a huge opportunity in mapping infrastructure and doing topographical maps for water displacement. There's a huge opportunity right now, and you would have to probably get into the LiDAR side, so it's not really photogrammetry. And this is, I think, you know what, let me take a step back. I think it's really important for people to understand the difference between photogrammetry and using LiDAR. Photogrammetry is using like a Phantom, a Unique Typhoon H520, which I love for mapping.
Right.
Really do love that. Again, thank you, Unique, for sending that. If actually you want to check out their feed of stuff that we've done, go to Instagram, and it's at UniqueAPV, Alpha Papa Victor. I think you'll see some really cool stuff there. But photogrammetry is essentially taking a lot of images and creating three-dimensional models out of those images to get lifelike looking models. And I say lifelike because they've got great color, they've got good detail, but you cannot really map super finite objects. We're not there yet. We're going to be finding out here very soon. We do have the DJI X7 camera on order, which I think could really take our maps and models to the next level. But photogrammetry is great for doing you know, topographical maps, orthomosaics, volumetric measurements, doing models. It's not really good for doing finite detail. It's also not very good for doing vegetation indexing or volumetric vegetation analysis. Hmm. It's really good, though, in GIS to use LiDAR because LiDAR shoots through the trees. So LiDAR can actually give you bare earth models. So it can give you topographical maps essentially below the tree line,
right,
which is really important for the government. And there is a lot of government work to be had out there. I would do a lot of research into the drone that you're going to buy before you try to jump into government work. There's a lot of government work available, but there's a very specific process that you have to go through in order to get government work, and something that we're going through right now because we're trying to feed out some more jobs to our students. And anyway, LiDAR is really good for finite stuff. So for if we were trying to shoot power lines, if we're trying to shoot... how do I say this? So power lines, substations, infrastructure that has very small critical systems and information, LiDAR is great. If we're trying to get bare earth models below the trees, LiDAR is great. But where LiDAR fails is it doesn't have a lifelike look to it. In fact, someone tried poaching, I talked to someone in the film industry recently as of Friday. In fact, they were having breakfast three tables down from Joel and I. And I was like, oh, that's McClownface. That's his code name for now. And I was like, he's really important in the film industry. And I was like, hey, I've got this idea. I think we can help sell New Mexico a lot better. And check this out. And he's like, you know, it's funny. Someone came to me. And he's like, they showed me this LiDAR unit and the maps that they had made of areas, but it just didn't look very lifelike. So we said no. But he's like, your models look incredible. So there's a real big difference between photogrammetry and lifelike models and LiDAR, which gets, you know, better detail on a more finite level. It's kind of more survey grade. You normally work with engineering firms, surveying firms, and there is a great use for LiDAR. LiDAR also takes a lot less time than photogrammetry.
LiDAR is going to be a little bit more expensive to equip yourself to do it, though, right?
So I got a quote for a new drone, Rob.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact, let me pull it up right now. Give me 1 second. I'm going to show you the price, and you can just verbalize your emotional response. Let's
get the bleep
see.
Ready.
Okay, here it is. And hold on. Let me get the total. There's a total.
Holy.
Do you want to go ahead and read the total for us?
That's not a joke?
That's not a joke.
All right. So Paul, if you want to get into this business, it's only going to cost you $213,972.
$213,972.
Holy shamoly.
That's more than the cost of my house, Rob.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
He's asking about pricing, right? So like, but, so how much can you make with the LiDAR unit? So if you're shooting, let's say you're working for U.S. Forest Service, you're working for, there's a couple different groups, and I don't want to name them all because I don't want to give a friend's information. They're looking for bare earth models. Mm-hmm. They shoot about 1,000 acres a day, okay?
Okay.
Think about that. So remember, with flying LiDAR, you can fly vast distances much faster than doing a cross-hatching pattern with photogrammetry. Like, photogrammetry actually takes a long time to do.
Yeah, it's tedious.
It is tedious. So guess how much, if you had this drone, how much money you can make in one day doing 1,000 acres, giving a bare earth point cloud that can then be uploaded into the government's GIS system?
I'd say 50 grand a day.
$35,000 a day. Yeah.
So
that's a good day.
That's a fantastic day. So
I need to have more days like that.
So all we need to do is get a mortgage. And then we can buy this thing. So in all seriousness, is that, I mean, I know you said there's a lot of government work out there, but is that kind of day, shall we say, really available for somebody that has this drone on an ongoing basis?
Yes, and there's more and more government work coming out. There's more and more surveying work. Even the states are interested in getting this topographical information, and it's something that has to be updated on a regular basis. So it's recurring work.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so lots of opportunity. Now, if we take a step back and go to photogrammetry, you know, if we're looking at a drone to do super high-level photogrammetry, like, say, an Inspire 2, Let's say we use the X7, right? We're looking at $8,500 for a drone. Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to take us a lot longer to cover distances, but we have a lot more, how do I say this? We have a lot more opportunities. They're not super niche opportunities. I mean, golf courses love getting models of their drones because they can input it in the GPS data in their golf carts. People can see the elevation changes and whatnot in the golf courses.
And there are golf courses all over the world.
It's true.
That would want this done.
Agreed. There are tourism districts that would love, love, love to have 3D lifelike models of everything to sell their conference space, to sell the areas around them, to say, hey, conferences, you should come to us and here's why, here's all our features and whatnot. There are opportunities too for public safety. I don't think public safety is there yet, but I think it is coming down the line where essentially there's going to be a day and a time where even Google is going to be doing mapping, much better mapping of areas to get lifelike models of and measurable models that can be laid down on Google Earth that are much greater detail than what you can see now. I also think it's going to be really important to do measurements of traffic analysis. I mean, I could just sit here and talk for the next hour on opportunities with photogrammetry. I think it's actually insane. There's a group here in town. We stumbled across them having beers at Marble Eastside. And what is it? La Bajada Hill? Is that the name of the hill?
On the way out of town?
Yeah, yeah. They're mapping La Bajada Hill. Because
for who?
The state of New Mexico. Because the side of the highway is falling off the cliff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, did you, so notice
I
next
did
time
not know that.
Next time you drive back from Santa Fe, you're gonna see that barrier down the big hill, the really big hill.
Yep.
And you'll see a barrier closing off the shoulder of the highway. That's where the highway is falling off.
Very interesting.
So
all
don't
right.
drive fast and do a hard move right there.
I'll try to remember that. So. It is actually amazing just the, I mean, like you said, you could keep going with new uses and there's new ones that are going to be discovered as we move forward as well.
Well, I mean, it's a much better representation of permanent installation for construction sites, whether it's landscaping, whether it's roofing inspection. So, you know, if you have hail damage, instead of just doing some pictures, if you actually had a lifelike model where you could measure the size of holes and whatnot, you're talking about much, much, much better detail on payouts for insurance companies.
Right.
Imagine if, I mean, like, you know, Nevada Highway Patrol is getting into it right now, where they're doing mapping of crime scenes. Now, I do not recommend anyone go out and try to teach people how to do mapping, especially with crime scenes, because there is a huge liability in doing that. And your data has to be flawless every single time. You've got to have a system. You've got to have systems to ensure systems work. Like, you've got to have backups of systems, and you're affecting people's lives. So I think one day we'll get to that. Like I said, the NTSB is using it for accident reconstruction, and I think that's really cool. You're seeing mapping and modeling used for so many things that just involve measuring and volumetric measuring and counting. So like I said, traffic analysis, you know, I think that's a big one. I mean, you can get down to, there's a lot that can be done.
Yeah. So the answer, Paul, is yes, you can. And when I say Paul, I'm talking Paul, our question answerer. I mean, our question asker, there is a business to be had.
True.
It goes without saying at this point, but there's a learning curve.
There is a huge learning curve with this, actually. That's why we just did this intermediate mapping class, because in all honesty, in our class, you'll learn why cloud processing is not a good idea. And it really comes down to manual tie points and why that's important. And you'll learn the restrictions of cloud processing versus desktop processing and why you want to have your own desktop computer to do your processing. But you're going to need a really fast one. So there are limitations with a lot of these cloud systems. I think Drone Deploy is a great system for counting volumetric measuring and outputting that data to a PDF to get out to clients and give them access to stuff. But, you know, so as far as deliverables, they're great. But if you're going to have clients that need more detail than what those provide, so those process at a certain level of detail, if you need higher resolution or higher detail, which for the higher end clients, you are going to need that, cloud processing is not going to work for you. Now, that being said, I think that there is a significant market as far as pricing goes. People would price it differently. You know, like Doug, it's funny. Doug in the intermediate mapping course this weekend was telling people how he prices, which he said he does a day rate and then he does a processing time by hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one to bury people with details. I'm not one to give people itemized invoices.
Yeah.
And the reason is because then people start getting nitpicky. They're like, well, can't you process this in 3 hours instead of four? You know, it's like, I like to do package pricing. And it's funny because I've gotten Doug a lot of work. And each time that we've done work, it's been package pricing.
Right. Yeah, so, I definitely agree that package pricing is the way to go. You're setting yourself up for conflict otherwise when you try to detail that kind of stuff out. Like you said, they're going to find flaws in that pricing somewhere, somehow.
Yes.
It's inevitable.
Yep. I still think though with mapping, you know, if you're a good mapper, you can still get $2,000 a day plus your processing time and fees, so you're looking anywhere from $3,500 to $15,000 depending on the size of the area. It also depends on, you know, if you're doing a construction site, that price is going to be a lot lower, but you're probably going to be going back more often. So
right.
There's just, you know, is this like you talk about pricing in your business class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is something that, you know, really we could go into detail significantly. And I'm not sure that the podcast is the right place for it, but it is in the business class. And we're really excited for that coming out, probably beginning of next year. I'm very excited about that. And
for sure.
I think that answers his question.
I think so. If not, obviously let us know. Ask follow-up questions. We're happy to take those in. Yeah, again, if you guys have questions, astronew.com. We'd love to hear from you. We haven't heard an accent in a while. I guess maybe we've moved past the accent thing, but we'd love to hear those as well. We just love hearing. We're loving the questions about mapping. Gets Paul excited, as you can tell. So the more detailed questions you can ask about that, the better. And go to thedroneu.com. Check out our membership there. We'd love to hear from you. Support at thedroneu.com. If you have any questions about what we're doing here, we can answer those for you as well.
Awesome, guys. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.